I've only been here for 9 months, so I still really recognize what a treasure Strike Point is. Do you guys recognize how lucky and blessed we are? Wow. A young United Methodist author and blogger is my friend, Reverend Morgan Guyton. And he wrote this wonderful book that's called How Jesus Saves the World from Us, 12 Antidotes to Toxic Christianity. And it's become one of my very favorite books. He begins his book with this question. Have Christians become what Jesus came to stop us from being? Think about it. Have Christians become what Jesus came to stop us from being? And isn't the truth that some of the loudest Christian voices are one that sounds angry, that proclaim exclusion and focus on rules over grace? Jesus was constantly fighting against the religious leaders of his time who wanted to make the door of entrance into God's grace small. But Jesus, he came to open the door of God's love and grace and mercy and acceptance to everyone. And he came to show us how we can do that too. Our sermon series over the next 5 weeks uses Guyton's book as a jumping point. I've titled the series, How We Are Christian. Today we're going to look at how we love God. In the coming weeks, we'll explore how we love people, how we live by truth, how we grow, and how we use our time. And perhaps we will learn anew how we are Christian. Let us pray together as we begin. God, as we hear your words read and as they're shared, open our ears, help us to hear, free us from distractions around us and within us so that we can really listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine, and would you open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message for us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So today's scripture lesson tells us that when we give alms, and that is charitable giving, and when we pray, and when we fast, and fasting isn't just giving up food for a time being, it's giving up food or anything else so that we can more fully focus on God. When we do these things, that we should do them in secret. It tells us to not act like hypocrites who do these things to be seen by and praised by others. It tells us that when we do these things in private, we will receive some secret reward from God. Is this scripture for you like it is for me? Just a little bit confusing? I mean, what's wrong with people seeing the good that we do? It can inspire other people to do good. Aren't I supposed to do my very best with the gifts God's given me, perform at my peak? And what is this secret reward that Jesus is referring to? The word in Greek for performer is hypocrites, which means under the critic. The word is a term for actors who are on the stage. Jesus uses this word in an extended sense in today's scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, where he is encouraging to see religion not as a performance, but instead as a relationship. As Jesus talks about the religious activities of charitable giving and praying and fasting, he tells us that public performers will get one kind of reward, and those who do their acts in secret, in private, will receive another kind of reward. Jesus' message is that when we act with the focus of performing for others, receiving accolades and the affirmation of others, then that is exactly the reward we will get. The applause and approval of others can feel great. I like to be affirmed. I really like to affirm other people because it can be motivating and it can be life-giving. But sometimes can't it also be life-sucking? Because outside affirmation can begin to feel hollow. And one day getting tons of likes on Facebook doesn't feel as good as it once did. And then a voice inside of us wonders if we are liked and accepted only because of what we do. Seeking public affirmation can also lead us to do things for external attention and affirmation rather than because we believe it is the right thing to do. How easy it can become for us to live under the critics, giving others the power to judge us, inform our actions, control our sense of inner well-being. The secret reward that Jesus talks about today, it is so different than that. It is the inner security and peace and confidence that comes not from what we do and not because of our performance, not as a result of the affirmation of others, but it is a gift of knowing that we are truly beloved and accepted by God no matter what, that God loves us fully and completely, not because of anything we do, but simply because of who God is. And God is love. Henry Nouwen, in his book, Life of the Beloved, talks about how God is in this process of constantly reaching out to us with love, trying to help us understand that at the core of our being, at the root of it all, no matter what, we are always and forever beloved. And that belovedness, it comes not because of what we do, not because we're perfect or perform well, but simply because God is love. You see, when we stop needing to perform for others and open ourselves to the graceful love of God to be released within us, then we start to receive that gift of our belovedness. And then we enter more deeply than ever before into relationship with God and others and ourselves. Understanding that we are beloved means realizing that everything we do, all that we are, is covered in God's love for us. This love, it's a free gift. It's always there for us, given universally without exception and independent of performance. But still, we need to respond, to accept that love. We need to open ourselves to God's love. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says it this way. Read it with me. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. You see, we open the door of our lives, of our hearts, allowing the flow of God's grace into our lives. When we understand that we live in the presence of a God who is constantly with us, who sees everything about us, knows everything about us, and no matter what, looks upon us with deep warmth, abundant love, and acceptance, then we are beginning to embrace our belovedness. Could it be? Is it possible that the secret reward to which today's scripture refers is discovering that when we do our giving, our praying, our fasting, or anything else, not for the affirmation of others, but as an expression of our own belovedness, then it becomes an act of worship of God, no matter what it is, and we begin to experience that real inner security, freedom, peace, and joy that our souls yearn for. Don't all of us need to be saved from that frantic feeling that we need to perform for the approval of others? Don't we know that in the core of our being, no matter how popular, gifted, or admired we may be, that it is lonely and hollow and short-lived? until we hear and trust the presence of God's absolute love for us. It is when we begin to really trust God's love for us that we find ourselves being saved from our frantic need to perform. There's a well-intentioned Christian saying that goes, "Perform for an audience of one." I've used that saying here in this sanctuary. And you know, that phrase is helpful in that it suggests that we don't need to worry about performing for other people. But it's also unhelpful in that it still encourages us to perform in some way, not for the world, but for God. And when we think that way, when we believe that we need to perform for God, we're still trying to justify ourselves, still trying to earn God's favor and love. Our salvation, it comes in knowing and believing that we are God's beloved just as we are, and there is nothing we need to do to earn that love. It's a gift from God. We don't need to perform, not even for God. God doesn't want us to anxiously feel like we need to justify ourselves. God wants us to accept the gift of grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says it this way. Read with me. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You see, we don't have to perform to be justified or saved. In fact, what we are saved from is our self-imposed isolation that comes in believing that we are not good enough in ourselves, that we need to hide our true selves from others and God and even from ourselves. Here's the truth. Salvation is not a performance that earns our way into heaven. Salvation is accepting and embracing God's love for us and giving ourselves over to that eternal love. Friends in Christ, can we be a people, a church that loves like God loves, that is love? That doesn't require anyone to believe, behave, or perform in a certain way in order to receive God's love or our love. Through the way we respond to people, can we help them turn off that critic's voice that is in all of our heads and instead help everyone hear and feel and experience amazing love so that they may come to know their belovedness too? Think of the great change, the great hope, the great possibility that happens when people are secure in their belovedness. In so many ways, I think we are already that kind of people. I think we are already that kind of church. During the interview process for our new church administrator, I was talking with Ann Gustafson about our church. She knew firsthand that we're an inclusive church as far as including the LGBTQ community and having all ages here, but she was interested even more in how our commitment to inclusion is lived out. And I would have thought, I would have said, some profound action that we take together, a parade we attended, something we've done, but without even thinking about it, I said to her, "You know, the people in this church really love me, and not just because of what I do. And I really love them and feel the same way about them." And I told her that we love each other, even when we disagree with each other, even when we let each other down, or even when we make each other mad. I told her that we don't have to perform for that love, and I assured her that this church will love her like that too. You see, we are well on our way to being a congregation, a church that knows and claims our belovedness. We are finding the freedom and the joy that comes in understanding that we don't have to perform for others or for God, and we are experiencing the blessing that comes in affirming others and sharing with others their belovedness, their complete and total acceptance in God. If you, like me, sometimes fall into that temptation of performing for others, trying to earn our acceptance, thinking our worth comes in what we do, remember, you are God's beloved. And your salvation comes in understanding that God has saved you from that need for self-justification. Feel God's embrace. Receive the depth of God's life-giving love for you. And may we together welcome and accept all people, showing them their belovedness through the way we treat them and interact with them. And let's work to change any systems of exclusion and injustice that seek to lessen the message of all people's belovedness. We love God best when we don't try to perform for God or demand that others do. We love God best when we accept God's love for us and offer that love to all people. And you know what happens when we simply accept our belovedness rather than trying to earn it? What happens is this. We receive that secret reward today's scripture talks about. We let ourselves fall into God's loving embrace. And our spirits are filled with connection with God. Our spirits are filled with worship like never, ever before. Amen.